You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant and Jerry with her stories she makes up. And this is Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah, we have a Jerry story, but not for this one, for the other one we're recording.
Right.
Hint, spoiler coming up.
What's the spoiler? Like, you just gave a spoiler about a spoiler.
That Jerry has a personal story relating to the second of the two shows we're recording today.
Gotcha.
Not much of a spoiler.
No.
But people love any nugget from Jerry. They're like, oh my God, what is it?
Right. Especially when she talks.
Yeah.
Chuck.
Yes.
So if we weren't on any sort of watch list before, after researching yesterday and today for this episode,
Yeah. We
most decidedly are.
We're on some kind of red list.
Yeah. If that's the highest list, I would guess we're probably on it.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the highest, but it's a list that we're probably on.
We're at least on the same list as Glenn Greenwald, who I think is a righteous dude.
You read his book, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for bringing that up. I think that we should point out a few pieces of required reading / viewing for this one.
Okay.
If this episode like strikes your fancy, read Glenn Greenwald's book, No Place to Hide.
Yep.
It's awesome. Like all sorts of new revelations in there and like his take on the media and how, it's just a great read.
Yeah.
Have you read it?
I have not, sir.
You should.
I will.
You should also read Why Privacy Matters Even If You Have Nothing to Hide, which is an article by Daniel J. Solov in the Chronicle for Higher Education.
That is a must-read because I think that's a lot of people's argument is that, well, you know, if you're not a terrorist, then why do you care?
Exactly.
It does matter.
He demolishes that argument.
Well, it's not an argument.
It's a non-argument. And then you should also watch parts 1 and 2. I think they're both online, of the United States of Secrets, which is a Frontline.
I haven't seen that.
Documentary.
Cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And Frontline-y, which is always good.
Yeah, it's just like a great nonfiction magazine article, but for your eyes.
Come to life.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Sure.
So, was there anything in here that you didn't really know?
About the NSA?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I mean, I imagine we'll cover it in this order, which is a little bit about the organization and then all the scary things that they do.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I read a lot of Edward Snowden's revelations, but there were so many. I think you have to read a book.
Yeah. I mean, when we were researching this, there were things like that I didn't know about.
Sure.
And it's such an ongoing, like ever evolving story too that like if I was reading an article and it was from longer than a year ago, you know, it was virtually useless because that was pre-Snowden revelations. And then even the stuff that came out in like June 2013, they seem so naive now.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, well, the NSA's admitted to this. Oh, and it turns out that they were totally lying. But so now they've admitted to this.
Right.
And then, you know, it just kept expanding. And every time, like they were just admitting just the barest minimum. And then there was another revelation and it just showed that whatever they admitted to could be magnified times 1,000 or whatever.
Yeah, I listened to an NPR thing on just the policing of the police, essentially, or the policing of the NSA, and how it's virtually impossible because their whole deal is to, and I guess this is the beginning of what they do, it's not only do they try and crack codes and intercept messages, but they're also charged with safeguarding their own.
Right.
And a lot of the government agencies own important information.
Right.
So to police an organization like that, it's just, it's an exercise in futility because their job is to avoid that.
Yeah, they encrypt and decrypt.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's tough. And there's no checks and balances, it seems like, and it's scary.
Yeah, they're supposed to be, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
All right.
So let's talk NSA. The whole thing came about in 1952 under Harry Truman. The S stood for nothing.
Yeah, and I want to go ahead and point out now, I'm not going to get too opinionated, but I don't feel that there should not be something like the NSA because they serve a valuable, you know, service.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it in the right ways.
Sure.
And I don't think they are.
Right.
And that's the last thing I'm going to say, opinion-wise. Everything else will be just fact. I just don't want this to come across as like poo-pooing, like they should shut them down forever.
Well, yeah. I think you just overtly said you don't feel that way.
Okay. 1952. Harry Truman.
Harry S. Truman.
Yes.
And the S stood for nothing.
That's right.
He created the NSA basically to try to get electronic information eavesdropping on other countries.
Yeah.
And do some encryption. So basically from the beginning, the NSA's had the same dual mission that it has today.
Yeah, officially that's called SIGINT, which everyone loves the acronyms in these intelligence agencies in the military. Signal intelligence.
That's the eavesdropping part.
Yeah, and then information assurance, which is, you know, trying to assure them all that their information is safe. So safeguarding and...
By encrypting it.
Yep.
Yeah. So they've been doing that since the beginning.
Yes.
The thing is since, even though they've been around since 1952, they haven't been publicly acknowledged as existing until the mid-70s, thanks to the Church Committee hearings, which sussed out all sorts of intelligence community abuses, like the CIA experimenting on unsuspecting Americans with LSD
right.
and what the NSA was up to. And until that point, it was just outright denied that the NSA even existed.
Yeah, and a lot of people might think the CIA is the same thing, but NSA is generally just intelligence, and CIA is acting on that intelligence.
Exactly.
Out in the field. NSA, they're holed up in some room somewhere.
And they've been keeping in lockstep over the years, well, especially since 2001. I shouldn't say over the years, but really since 2001, they've been kind of symbiotically growing with the Internet.
Yeah.
And as a result, they become incredibly more prominent as far as the 17 agencies tasked with gathering and collecting and analyzing intelligence for the executive branch
yeah.
go. Maybe even more so than the CIA these days, because what they do, fits so nicely into the expansion of the Internet. Like, basically, they can do their job just by tapping into the Internet, and they've spent the last decade or so figuring out how to do that more efficiently.
Yeah, they love the Internet.
And to gather as much stuff as possible. That's right.
It's basically like they used to have to, and I'm not saying it's not hard work, but now basically they said, well, all the information we need, for the most part, is now gathered in one big corral.
Exactly.
Called online.
Yeah, and everybody, just tell your friend whatever you want. It's secret.
Yeah.
You know, share what you like on Facebook. We can't put it together with all the other data and create a complete profile on you and know you better than your mother.
That's why number stations, buddy.
Yeah.
It's going to go back to the past.
I wonder.
I could see it. I mean, I'm surely bad people realize that the Internet is not a safe way to do business anymore.
Yeah, but there's such a reliance on that kind of communication
yeah.
that it's
no,
like,
I know.
I mean, have we passed the point of no return where it's it's just kind of, people just don't talk on the phone about stuff like that anymore?
People don't talk on the phone anymore.
Right. Or they don't talk over email anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So the NSA works alongside the, something called the CSS, the Central Security Service. And they are basically the military side, that does the same thing that the NSA does.
Right. So from what I understand, as of 2013, there was 30,000 military personnel as part of the NSA. So maybe that's what makes up the CSS. And then 60,000 to 70,000 contractors
yeah.
working for the NSA. So basically there's like 90 to 100,000 people who work for the NSA.
Yeah. And that contractors number may be going down because, one of the fears that the government now has, because Edward Snowden was a contractor, mm-hmm. is that we've got way too many civilian contractors working for us.
Maybe so. The thing is Snowden was portrayed as a low-level, a Booz Allen contractor.
Yeah.
And did you watch that interview with him on NBC, I think, a couple months ago? It was the only American interview he's given to this point.
No, I didn't see that one.
He basically said, actually, he didn't even basically said, he said, I'm a spy.
Yeah.
I'm a highly trained spy.
Right.
This whole thing where they're saying, like, I was a low-level contractor, he's like, that's not true. He said, I've been working undercover in a foreign country for the CIA. I've worked undercover in a foreign country for the NSA. So the whole idea that just some low-level contractor had access to all this stuff is not correct. He was, like, a pretty high-level spy.
Yeah, supposedly they're not interested in him anymore, although I don't buy it.
I don't buy that either.
They came out, like, literally 2 days ago and said, you know what? As time goes on here, his information is less and less relevant.
That's true.
And they said, so we honestly, because he's trying to cut a deal to get back to the U.S.
Mm.
And now, or at least it may change, but now they're saying, I don't really care.
Right.
Stay over there in Russia. Like, the stuff you have is old news by now.
Right. And I mean, he threw such a wrench in the works that they may have to just go back and start from scratch.
I'm sure they'd like to get their hands on him, though.
Sure. And even if they're not having to start from scratch, it seems to be that the capabilities of the NSA are evolving so quick that, yeah, the snapshot that he provided from, what, April 2013 is, you know, now it's more than a year old. Who knows how much it's changed? So you're right. Like, this is getting less and less relevant as it goes on.
Yeah. What's scary is that you just referred to close to 2 million documents as a snapshot.
Yeah.
And that's true. That is just a small portion.
Yeah.
Of what's going on.
If you're watching the NSA, though, and a lot of people are now more than ever, they appear to be continuing to expand and expand and expand. Like, they've got this data center in Salt Lake City that they just opened. And it, Chuckers, is capable of storing data in the range of zettabytes. Z-E-T-T-A bytes.
How many terabytes is that?
I don't know how many terabytes it is, but it's 1/6 trillion bytes.
How many Big Macs is that?
That's 22 zeros.
Wow.
Consider this. On the low end estimate, so they can store at least 1/6 trillion bytes of data in this place in Salt Lake City. There are, on the low end, 10 sextillion stars in the entire visible universe.
Wow.
That's a lot of data that they just built a house for out in Salt Lake City. So they don't appear to be slowing the roll at all.
No, and they, in fact, hired in 2011, 2012, about 3,500 new employees. And this article very just sweetly points out, if you want to go work for the NSA, you don't even have to be a computer major. You can major in music and history and still engage in cryptanalysis.
Right.
So that's good to know.
Right. Because, I mean, if you think about it, sometimes they use more than just key codes. Like, if somebody wanted to decrypt your number station key, they would have to be familiar with, what was it, To Kill a Mockingbird?
Was that the book we used? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you would want to hire, like, a lit major or something like that to cryptanalyze something like that. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Plus, they train them that you're not expected to come into the NSA as a securities encryption expert. They will send you to school and class to teach you how to do this stuff.
That's right. And they
you have to meet certain requirements.
They also have internships for students.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine just interning at the NSA for the summer?
Yeah.
And not being killed afterward?
Some of the victories over the years with the NSA, like the Cuban Missile Crisis, we should note, because of SIGINT, again, signals intelligence, we realized that the Russians were not just installing, we discovered they were installing nuclear warheads.
Right.
And they just weren't vacationing in Cuba.
And we also found out from SIGINT, from the NSA, is that the Russians had taken over the controls of the Cuban missile system.
Yeah.
So Russia installed nuclear warheads and
had the key.
In Cuba, pointed right here at the U.S.
Yeah.
But during the Cuban Missile Crisis, the NSA also diffused the whole thing by eavesdropping and finding some sort of transmission among, I think, the Russian Navy that showed that Russia was not going to challenge this quarantine the U.S. had put around Cuba, which was kind of like the new line in the sand that Kennedy had drawn.
Yeah, perhaps avoided nuclear war.
Right.
Thanks to that intelligence.
So they have delivered the goods before.
They sure have. They were under fire after 9/11 for not delivering the goods.
Yeah.
And I remember famously said, you know, we had some communications that there was something big going down.
They had like 30 of them, and yeah. Two specifically mentioned September 11th.
Right, but we didn't know what it was or where it was, and it's kind of hard to throw a dragnet over the country. And right. They didn't even know it was going to be in the country, supposedly.
Yeah. There's a guy in the United States of Secrets who was one of the NSA analysts who, like, missed 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, one of the guys, and he is a wreck.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's just weeping, like sobbing the whole interview. It's really tough to watch.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's just going to go to his grave, like, every day.
Yeah.
Just hating himself for it. It's really sad.
That is sad. Since 9/11, a lot of changes have taken place. Obviously, we'll get to the online aspects, but it's just a different deal these days. The people that you're looking for are able to hide in plain sight, and they're operating. Best case scenario, they're operating in a cell of, you know, a dozen people that you might be able to track. Worst case scenario, you've got a single person just acting on their own, which is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
To kind of root that person out. You have to catch them in the act, which was the case in Times Square with, what was his name? Faisal Shahzad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sounds
right. Times Square bomber.
Yeah.
Or would-be bomber.
Yeah, he was a lone wolf.
The thing is, a lot of people criticize the NSA for even having these cases associated with their names because these cases were made from regular old warranted police work.
Yeah, real police.
Yeah. So there's a lot of criticism that the NSA really hasn't delivered the goods for many, many years.
Yeah.
And that one of the problems is it's drowning in data. Like, it missed the Boston bombers.
Right.
It missed the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber. Like, there was – and these were even overseas targets, people, like, planning and plotting.
Well, when you're tracking every cell phone call made in the United States, you're bound to be awash in data.
Yeah. And that's probably the most salient criticism. Like, even Glenn Greenwald agrees with you.
Yeah.
Like, that we don't need to do away with the NSA.
Right.
But the problem is, if you are doing what General Keith Alexander, who runs the show there, wants, which is collect everything.
Yeah.
Then you're awash in data. It's big data with the capital B and the capital D.
Yeah.
Where you have so much data, you can't make sense of anything. You can't possibly wade through it.
Right.
And when you're in that situation, you can easily have something that you need and just it pass right by.
Yeah.
So what Greenwald says is we should be targeting people more effectively. Like, yes, use the NSA capabilities. They're awesome.
Right.
But put them to good use.
Right.
Don't just cast this wide net across the entire world. That doesn't do anything.
Yeah. One of the big controversies that we're going to get into right after these messages has to do with warrants. And whether or not you should have to have a warrant to collect information on someone. So we'll get to that right after this.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, Chuck, we've been talking about the NSA.
Yeah.
And
did we even say what it stood for?
Surely we did, didn't we?
I don't think we did.
Oh. It's the National Security Agency.
Yeah.
And for many years, it had the nickname No Such Agency.
NSA. Because they were just so secretive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And under a law that was passed in 1978, as part of the Church Committee hearings, this thing called the FISA Court was set up. And the FISA Court came out of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA.
Yeah.
And it basically said the NSA, to do its job, can go forth and eavesdrop on everybody outside of the U.S. Please do.
Yeah.
That's your job. But we understand that some of those people who you need to keep an eye on may actually come into the U.S. Well, we have a line drawn there.
Yeah.
You guys need to get a warrant. And since 1978, as far as anybody knew, until about 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
That's how the NSA operated.
Yeah. If you wanted to, listen in on someone's phone call inside the U.S., you had to go to this court and get a warrant, 11 members and out of 34,000 warrant applications between 1979 and 2012, all but 11 were passed through.
Yeah.
So there was a FISA court, but they approved 99.97% of warrants.
Right. So it wasn't hard.
No.
If you wanted to target somebody, all you had to do is ask.
Pretty much.
There was a rubber stamp just hovering right over the desk.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder what the deal was with those 11.
They just must have been egregious.
Yeah. Paper boy.
Right. The thing who like overcharges.
Yeah, like I want to spy on my paper boy.
Right.
And my milkman.
The thing is in 2002, a lot changed as a result of 9/11. It's part of the USA Patriot Act. Man, the name of that act.
Yeah.
As part of the Patriot Act, the NSA was given broader abilities to eavesdrop within the U.S.
That's right.
So basically what happened was that George Bush said the NSA can monitor international emails and phone calls if they're generated within the U.S. as long as they're going overseas.
Right.
And they're part of a targeted investigation.
Yeah, warrant without a warrant.
That's right.
That's the key.
And that happened in 2002. The press actually knew about this. The New York Times sat on it during an election, Bush's re-election.
Yeah.
And was roundly criticized once they finally released it in 2005 after he was re-elected. But the point is that as part of the Patriot Act and this Bush executive order, the NSA was allowed to start paying attention to business records that the feds could get from American companies, and they could eavesdrop on domestic initiated calls.
Yeah, and the business records, it was an expansion there. You could always subpoena or get a warrant for business records. But under the terms it expanded to was that, quote, any tangible thing related to an investigation to obtain foreign intelligence or protect against terrorism. So any tangible thing is about as broad as it gets.
It really is.
You can basically say anything. And if it's not, hey, I want to spy on my paper boy,
right,
then you can get that warrant.
But if you say, I want to spy on my paper boy and his name is Akbar, the FISA court would probably be like, okay, here's two.
Yeah.
Take two warrants.
Well, yeah, I got some stuff on that we'll get to later.
So as if that weren't expansive enough, I mean, having to go get a warrant and having a 99.97% approval rate, then not having to get a warrant for a lot more stuff. If that weren't enough, in 2008, Barack Obama expanded it even further.
Yeah.
I should say reduce the obstacles between the NSA and the information it seeks even further. He said that, I think he signed an executive order that said that you can monitor the communications between a U.S. national and a foreign national if the foreign national is the target of an investigation.
Right.
Before it was like, oh, there's an American involved, the NSA's out.
Right.
Maybe we'll tip off the CIA or the FBI or something like that, but the NSA is out. That was changed in 2008.
Yeah, and enacted for another 5 years through, starting in December 2012.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, it also did something really, really huge. The big one for the 2008 FISA expansion is that it took away the need to get a warrant for bulk communications collection as long as it was metadata.
Right.
Which meant now that the NSA could go grab as much data as it wanted, phone call records, email records, all that stuff.
With the help of the phone companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as it didn't contain the text of the email.
Right.
Or it wasn't a voice recording of the phone call.
Right.
They didn't need to get a warrant for everybody's stuff. Now, they still were supposed to, when they found out that they had an American's information, they were supposed to destroy it, unless it was related to a cyber crime, any crime at all, conceivably was related to some sort of security issue, or there was some other reason. Then they could keep it for 5 years, and then that could be extended for another 5 years. And again, this is really broad stuff. So if they caught an American stuff, they can conceivably hang on to it for 5 years, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem here is twofold, is not having a warrant is shady enough, but to have the warrants not be what they're supposed to be, which is an effective checks and balances system. It sounds like the warrant system was a joke. Anyway.
Yes.
So even if they said, well, we got to have warrants again, it's back to that joke of a system.
Exactly.
So either way, it's kind of like a joke.
It is. An empty process.
Yeah. The joke being that there are any real checks and balances.
Yes. So what came out over time over these Snowden revelations, because all of this was secret, the oversight that there was on the NSA after 2001 was just peeled back more and more and more. And there was barely any oversight to begin with.
Yeah.
And that at the same time, they were expanding their capabilities too. And the third prong in this trident of cloak and dagger-ishness is that they also had the complicity of telecommunications and internet companies.
Yeah, with Operation Prism, which was another one of Snowden's revelation, they collect internet information. Anything that you do on the internet, your search history, your file transfers, your emails, what you do on Facebook. And like you said, it is with the assistance of Apple and Facebook and Google and Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've admitted that though, right?
They have said basically that
the companies themselves.
If the NSA comes with a warrant, a 702, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
From a FISA court,
they hand it
over. They don't like it, but they'll hand it over. But yes, I don't think they ever have publicly admitted, and they've denied that they have allowed the NSA free access into their servers.
Right.
But what the Snowden files have come out and said is, here's this process where the NSA, some contractor somewhere, types into a computer that he wants this guy's everything through Prism. And then that request is routed through the FBI. The FBI sends it out to these companies who send back everything they've got on that person. And then the FBI turns around and hands it back to the NSA. And this takes between an hour and a day, depending on who you ask. And then you have everything on that person. You have photos. You have their Snapchat stuff. You have their Dropbox stuff. Facebook, Twitter, everything. You have all of their stuff, their emails, their phone calls, everything through Prism. So how much the companies were complicit or not is still at issue.
Yeah, one of the things Snowden said to The Guardian, I think The Guardian was where he first dumped all this information, right?
The Guardian and The Washington Post.
And The Post. He said that I, sitting at my desk, could wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge or even the president, if I had their personal email. Mike Rogers, Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, said that that's a lie and it is impossible for him to do that. But I guess we should talk about the program X Key Score, which basically makes it look like that's exactly what could happen.
Right. Like, through XKeyscore, it's supposedly the NSA's widest reaching system for collecting electronic data. You can watch what people are doing in real time on their Facebook page, on their Gmail account, all that jazz. And apparently, remember when we talked about in the Is Your Employer Spying on You episode?
Yeah.
That you could watch somebody while they were typing, even though they hadn't saved the document or something, and then they'd erase it and then retype it a different way?
Yeah.
The impression I have is that that's what XKeyscore does.
Yeah. Again, without obtaining a warrant or even having to get your supervisor on board.
Yeah.
You can just... You know, if you have the access to this program, you can
punch
in a name.
The NSA contractor?
Yeah.
Right. And there's supposed to be some sort of like approval process, but apparently that's not really real either. And then Chuck, there's one other that's kind of related to this. Dropout Jeep is a program where somehow in iPhones, there is a software implant the impression I have is that it's in all iPhones.
Uh-huh.
And from anywhere in the world, the NSA can turn your camera on, turn your microphone on, and turn your iPhone, this thing that you interact with so intimately, into a mole. And it eavesdrops on you.
Wow.
That's pretty scary stuff. Like, that makes you want not want to, like, be yourself in your own home.
Yeah.
If your phone is sitting there, like that's paranoia, but it's well-founded paranoia.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get right after this message. We're going to get a little bit into the non-argument that if you have nothing to hide, what's the big deal?
Okay.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, so the non-argument. If you have nothing to hide, then who cares? One of the problems is this, it depends what the NSA considers. Well, first of all, they're just mining all this, like bulk material from everybody.
Yeah, can I throw a couple numbers out?
Yeah.
In 1 month in 2013, the NSA gathered, in 1 month, 124 billion phone calls. The whole call. Not just metadata, which, by the way, supposedly gives a clearer picture of you and your behavior than a phone call necessarily would. And 3 billion of those phone calls were from the United States. That's a lot.
And that's a single month, 3 billion phone calls?
Yeah, and then let me give you one more number. There's a, from the Snowden files, some journalists analyzed them.
Uh-huh.
And they analyzed 160,000 emails and IM chats that the NSA collected. 90% were from average Americans, and they contained identifying, details.
Yeah.
Intimate details, like just the stuff like you would share to like your closest confidant.
Right.
The NSA had. And 90% of it was just average Americans.
Well, remember when we talked about Tor in our Deep Web episode?
That was a good one.
It's an internet anonymizer that allows you to search the internet supposedly anonymous. The NSA revealed recently that they consider everybody that uses Tor a potential extremist.
In that 2008 FISA Amendment Act?
Yeah.
One of the exceptions for getting rid of an American's stuff is if it's encrypted. So if you are using encryption stuff, the NSA can target it and try their best to decrypt it just because it's encrypted.
Yeah, everybody that, in fact, if you even visit Tor's website, you're going to be put on the NSA's red list, supposedly.
Yeah.
Just by visiting the site. And as we pointed out in the Deep Web episode, not everyone that uses Tor or is on the Deep Web is an extremist. There's a lot of people that just like their privacy.
Right.
Journalists, attorneys, civil rights activists, regular schmoes that don't want to be spied on are now considered potential extremists because they don't want to be spied on.
Under this 2008 executive order by Obama.
That's right. Who else might be looked at? How about potential someone you don't like in politics?
Yeah.
It was just released, I think Greenwald was it who exposed this too, that five Americans were surveilled under this program without a warrant. One was a Republican Party operative. One was a civil rights activist. A few of them were professors. They were all Muslim. That's no accident. Just regular folks, though. Nothing, not extremists, not terrorists. The Republican Party operative was served in the Navy. He's like a good dude. And was being spied on. And in 2011, Wired.com revealed FBI training documents that said view all Muslims as potential radicals. And the NSA internal training document as a placeholder for surveillance targets uses the term Muhammad Raghead.
Jeez.
And that's basically, if you're a Muslim and you live in the United States or abroad, then you are looked at as the enemy as far as the NSA is concerned.
Yeah.
Or a potential enemy.
Well, that was the thing. When all of this stuff started to come out, Obama's administration was saying, like, we don't spy on Americans. We're not, like, getting all this information on Americans. It's not Americans. It's everybody else. And the internet companies were like, a good portion of our customer base are overseas, and you're sitting here saying, like, we still target them. Yeah, because they're foreigners.
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't really dovetail with your point, but you just jog my memory.
What about spying on your wife or your girlfriend? Surely no one would ever use this capability to do something like that, right?
Right.
It happens. And they have data that said they used a warrantless surveillance on wives, girlfriends, would-be girlfriends, and abuse that spawned the intelligence community's term love-int instead of sig-int. So some guy has the program open, X keystroke, and he's like, hey, I wonder if my girlfriend's cheating on me. Mm-hmm. Or not even that. I just want to spy on this person.
Right.
This girl I want to go out with.
Yeah.
That's what's, and I'm not saying that's happening all over the place, but if it happens at all, it's an abuse of power.
Right. The guy Daniel Solov in his Why Privacy Matters article, he makes the point that even if you do have nothing to hide or whatever.
Yeah.
If everybody has a dossier, if everybody has some sort of file, and if you ever do decide to, say, speak out against tyranny or the EPA or whatever, they can say, hey, we've got this troublemaker over here. What file do you have on them?
Right.
And all of this stuff, whether it's in context or not, can all be pieced together to look however they want it to look. And all of a sudden, you suddenly lose your conviction.
Yeah.
Like, that's the NSA is at the least in danger of having so much information that it can't possibly keep track of everything. At worst, it's setting up the foundation for a tyrannical government that by its very definition and nature and the capability that it has can't be anything but tyrannical. Even if it tried not to be tyrannical, it couldn't. With this capability.
Yeah, and they literally will install something called fiber optic splitters at communications hubs it has to be under the compliance of these companies. They're not breaking in there and doing it. There's no way.
This is a revelation that came out before Snowden. There was a guy by the last name of Klein who was an AT&T engineer in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And he found this. This is in the United States of Secrets. He found this cable going up from one of the, I guess, main routers.
Where's that going?
Yeah. And he went and looked on the schematics and he's like, wait, there's not supposed to be a room above there, but there's a cable going to a room that's not on the blueprints for this building. So he started looking, and what he found was the splitter that you were talking about, where it takes if the communication line is a beam of light on a fiber optic cable, it uses a mirror to make a copy of it and split it in two. And one goes to the intended recipient, the other goes to the NSA.
Yeah. And that could be your information or your life.
Or your phone call, your email, whatever.
Yeah. How about this? They will intercept hardware like a router, servers, and retrofit them to serve their purposes, factory seal it, and send it right back to be sold.
Yeah.
So it is pre-bugged for your convenience.
Right. They reroute it from the distribution chain without the person who ordered it from, like, Hewlett-Packard or whoever.
Yeah.
Knowing that it was intercepted by the NSA and bugged.
Well, and because of all of this stuff, there's some people that call Edward Snowden a hero. Some people call him Benedict Arnold and a big fat traitor that should never be allowed back in the country. If he hadn't come out and said this stuff, it would probably all still be going on in secret, don't you imagine?
For sure.
I don't think they would have self-reported.
No. No, they definitely would not have. I think we're in total agreement on that.
So, you know, it's up to listeners out there to decide how you feel about what this guy did.
Chuck, there's some other stuff that the NSA did, apparently under the auspices of the FISA court. One of the, so it's tasked with eavesdropping on, like, enemies of the state.
Yeah.
It's also crackerjack at getting economic and diplomatic information.
Sure.
To people like the Department of Energy, the Department of Agriculture, the ambassadors to the UN, people who deal with the EU. All of these people are bugged by the NSA.
Yeah.
And we've just recently found out, and they've just recently found out and are not very happy about it, in order to give the U.S. information superiority in negotiations.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, basically using it for political gain has nothing to do with spying on terrorists.
Exactly. It's information superiority. That's the stated aim of the NSA.
Collect it all.
There's another one, too, that really, like, before the internet companies were feeling frustrated that they weren't allowed to talk about these 702 warrant requests.
Yeah, that's Section 702 is where that comes from.
And because in addition to having to give the government this information, you also can't talk about it at all. There's a gag order associated with it. So the internet companies couldn't say anything in their defense about this.
Right.
But they were still, they were frustrated, but then they felt like a thief had broken into their houses.
Yeah.
Because they found out about this program called Muscular, and Muscular went around the internet companies and went directly to the fiber optic line between Google servers and Yahoo servers and just tapped in.
Yeah.
And sucked it right out of there and apparently decrypted it fairly easily.
Yeah.
So they were getting information with the complicity of the internet companies and behind the internet companies' backs.
Yeah.
That was a huge surprise. So they were just basically like, we have no allegiance whatsoever, except to our information collections.
Yeah. It seems like there are no rules and safeguards and checks and balances at all. I'm interested to see what happens in the coming years. My guess is that Snowden's revelations will become obsolete and unimportant, and that things will kind of go back to normal.
I hope they never become unimportant. I hope what you're saying isn't right. I know that Snowden initially feared, to him, as he said, the worst thing that could happen is that if he did this, he took all these risks and exposed all this.
Yeah.
And nobody cared.
Right.
That clearly didn't happen. But, you know, there's this second potential problem, which is that eventually people just become fatigued from all of this exposure to all this information that you're just like, okay, I get it. My life is not my own.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't take worrying about this anymore, so I'm just going to detach and not care.
Right.
That I hope doesn't happen.
I think the vast majority of people don't care.
That's crazy to me.
I know.
Like, again, yeah, I agree with you. You can feel about Snowden however you feel.
Yeah.
But the concept of being snooped on, regardless of your political affiliation or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be that way here.
That transcends, like, anything. Like, how do you not care, at least?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. There's just, like, this would be an 18-hour episode if we went into all the stuff the NSA did. So
sure.
We'll say if you like this, go look up the required reading, and you'll find plenty of other stuff out there on everything you want to know about the NSA these days.
It's all out there, all 2% of it.
You can also learn more about the NSA by typing NSA into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And that will bring up this fine article. Since I said search bar, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this a bit on trickling down. Hey, guys, wanted to write in with a clarification on the episode on trickle-down economics. At one point, you guys used an example of someone working, not think it is so worth it to get a promotion because it could push you into a higher tax bracket. And thus, you are barely bringing home any more money. I had to write in because as someone who loves maths, I absolutely hate to see this misperception of how our taxes work. I've heard people I work with claim the same thing, thinking that getting a $500 bonus could push them over a line, and all of a sudden they would bring home less money than before.
I want to state for the record, I know this. We were just giving a different example that wasn't fully fleshed out.
This is completely wrong based on how the tax structure works. Even if you make $1 million a year, the first $9,000 will be based at 10%. The next $28,000 will be based at 15%. The next at $52,000 at 25%, and so on. I think you guys know this since you kind of allude to it in other places, but I was hoping you could make it perfectly clear so those people who might be mistaken realizing that making more will never push all of your income into a higher tax bracket. If you make, for example, $36,000, you'll be in that 15% bracket, and if you get a raise to $40,000, in the 25% bracket, you will only be paying 25% on the $3,100 above that bracket line. The same is true of Josh's claim of the richest people in the U.S. used to pay 90%. True, but they only paid 90% on the amount over the previous bracket.
Right, but let's say the previous bracket ends at $500,000.
Yeah, and you then made the next $50 million.
Or you made another $500,000.
Yeah.
And it was taxed at 90%. That's a disincentive to work. That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think we could have been clear on how it worked, though.
I'm sure we could have.
Anyways, thanks for what you do, and that is from Charity.
Thanks a lot, Charity, for clarifying. Yeah. We appreciate it. If you have a clarification for us for anything, we want to hear from you. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@Discovery.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.